Okay, sorry.
All right, we're good. We're ready to start?
Recording in progress.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to call today's meeting, Public Lands and Buildings Committee meeting into session on Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Debbie, call the roll.
Walchanowicz.
Here.
Togliatti.
Here.
Trachis.
Present.
Perfect. So on the agenda, the first four items are basically going to be all cemented into one. I just broke them down for the various topics that we've been discussing for the last year and a half. So on that, I know Annie's been working hard on her design of the expansion and the column burial. So
if we want to get started with.
Yeah, and I just want to say, Kevin Nixon from Portage Marble and Granite is here, and so he can field any specific questions that you may have about the columbariums and how they are set up, and, you know, anything that comes to mind. You know, he's over here, and so.
I was just going to say, pull it up, you're genius.
I mean, we could start with the expansion. I know,
You got to block the eye on one TV to turn on the other TV.
Yep.
Morning, I have something every day.
How you doing, Kevin?
Not too bad, yourself.
We're going to give us a little education as to what you think we're up against.
Oh, I mean, to be honest, the columbariums are fairly straightforward. You know, based on what Andy shared with me and what you guys are designing, it seems like actually one of the more simplistic ones, since you already have a road leading up to the area. It looks like all you're going to need is a foundation to be poured and maybe a little bit of sidewalk around and some landscaping. And then the columbarium, you know, they can all be set. You know, they'll be delivered and set as one piece. We have drawn up. So
is that how that would work? We put a foundation in?
Yeah, so I talked a little bit with her. I mean, we do the foundation for you. Most cities, you know, it's gonna be cheaper if you guys absolutely do it yourself or your own crew. It's gonna be less expensive. But we're happy to share with you, you know, for the schematic, how deep it should go and what's needed for that. But we can obviously do that work as well if we want to include that with.
How deep does a footer go for a column?
So, depending on the columbarium, the minimum would be usually about 3 feet, 3 foot to get below the frost line. Some go 4 or 5 feet. Based on what you have there, just a random guess, you're probably going to be in a 3.5 foot, 4 foot range.
The spread or just a straight footer?
So you just need it under, just under what you have, what, you know, the actual dimension of the columbarium or the footprint of the columbarium itself, and then the rest could just be sidewalk or, you know, whatever. For that barrier.
As far as,
we just set it right on top with the crane. Yeah, and that's all included. We, you know, I mentioned to Annie that you guys can certainly, if you want to find your own crane company and have your crew set up yourself, you're welcome to do that. We usually do that.
We know where one is.
We usually don't add any cost, and we usually recommend that you let us set it so it does drop. It's all us, it's on you. But you know, we're not opposed if you wanted to do it yourself. You know, that's.
Do you build it?
Yeah. So it's, a lot of it is built, depending on what it is, some of it's assembled by us, that's some of the quarry. In most cases, with any granite, you know, the more cuts that can be done at the quarry, the cheaper it's going to be, because the less they have to ship, you know, to ship them by weight from the quarry. So the least amount of weight you can ship, the better for you. But depending on how you end up deciding on these being designed, there may be some assembly for us, it may come pre-assembled, just depends on.
What's the timetable to get one if we want to order?
So, pre-COVID, I tell you 90 days, it needs to be done in 90 days every single time. There are still some times that can be true. A better estimate is probably 6 months. And then we probably put a clause on there just saying, you know, if there's COVID shutdowns again like there was in 2020, we don't foresee that, but that can cause delays. If there's a trucking strike again, that can cause delays. But 6 months is a good estimate. There would be some, if you changed the way you did it, that we could still do in 90 days if it was something that was, what you call a stock columbarium, that would definitely be quicker. But 6 months is is probably a fair, honest estimate.
What do you consider a stock?
So like there are, you know, you could, like, I can bring you a catalog and there is like a preform, you know, that a quarry might have, you know, 10 or 12 sitting in inventory that we could, you know, they just pick up and they ship to us. That's pretty rare that you do a stock. I mean, maybe not rare, but most cemeteries want to have something that's a little bit, at least somewhat unique to them. You know, like this is, you guys have 96 scripts here, and I think, yeah, if I remember the way this is, it's 48 on each side, and it's 4 high and 12 across is the total. So a standard 96 is, what do they usually do? It's 6 high and 8 across on both sides, and it's just a square. So that would be the stock of a 96, typically. And whenever you guys get to that point of wanting to get a quoted or bid, I can bid both or quote both styles.
Oh, yeah.
Are these products handmade or USA?
So that's up to you guys. You know, you can certainly get the granite sourced from the USA. You can also get sourced from overseas. There's obviously a difference in cost, and again, we can quote both for you. We are the Rock of Ages dealer in this area. Rock of Ages is an American quarrier. They're up in Barry, Vermont. It's really been since 1885. They're kind of unique. They are the highest quality, or what's considered the highest quality in the world, and they will dictate the entire production chain. So they will only let certain people handle their product on this end, and we're one of the ones they've selected, and we've been that way. We've been around since 1918, our company. My father-in-law is the owner. He's been here since 1971. So we have some longevity with Rock of Ages as well as just being a company on our own.
It's a good quality product.
Oh, just, yeah. Yep, Pateki, yeah. Ed Pateki, yeah. Good friends with Pateki.
So where do we feel as a committee we're at? Where are we at on it? Are we at the stages where we want to get pricing on this? Is it something we still want to think about?
What do we have funds set aside in the 5-year capital plan for this columbarium?
We have funds
set aside.
Some for the columbarium. We have some for the road.
The fence.
And the fence. So I think there's three different job plans.
I could go look. I just know that in total. Mine is predicated on the hiring discussion we had. Not looking at just individual items, but looking at in total. Columbarium, $125,000 encumbered already. $325,000 is listed in the 2022 column. And it falls back to that issue where almost $13 million appropriated for capital infrastructure this year, and much more than that is on the capital. And so it's not saying that whole 325 is available unless we commit to an outside funding source, and then all that stuff in the 2022 column comes available. There's fencing, and that's one of the other issues here. There's $100,000 in encumbrances already for that. And then $60,000 in encumbrances for just miscellaneous upgrades. So columbarium, 100 and a quarter, fencing, 100. So there's at least $225,000 that is there encumbered, ready to be used right now. Plus the 60, so it's really 285 if you throw that in there.
Did we ever get a tight price on the fence? Like,
well, I think that depended on the expansion opportunity. So I think the, as I recall, Mayor, I think we were, for just current purposes, it was like 150 maybe. But if we expanded, that would obviously change that.
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be up there. In fact, and the same thing is, it'll definitely do that. With that much fence, we're going rock side, M21 side, with the columns. Everything's a lot more expensive now, just everybody knows.
But let's and, do this, though. Let's not guess. Let's
begin the
rock plan. If we have with Annie and yourself.
Okay.
Some estimates.
We confirm prices.
And so when we come back, we're going to wait till we, since we have it, put a summary sheet together, get it to council.
Okay.
Because then we'll know what the fence cost is.
Okay.
Question I have for council is, if there's enough money encumbered that we could do the column barrier, that's at least the three, first three. And we could, with the money that's already been appropriated, get a steel from the fence temporarily. But there's two, there are all elements, putting the first, I go back to the other. There you go. The first road, first phase road in, on the left side there, closest to 21. I think that the engineer's going to stake all that, but actually.
Well, they.
Did they do that?
I think they put this plan together.
Yeah, okay.
No, I don't know.
They're trying to put together some geometry to the road so that it could get staked, could get built. Because, right, it was graphical for the most part initially, so, yeah, my engineer spent some time trying to, so they had a good base map, surveyed base map to start from. So we're working on it, getting things moved along. The goal is to try to look at the overall grading and drainage plan to complement the road layout, looking globally for the whole entirety of the expansion area, but then being cognizant of the phase one, phase two, phase three approach. So our hope is to just keep advancing this design along and get it to the point where we could bid something out and get real costs.
So I guess once everybody agreed on the first phase of the road and the overall strategy, and then we backed it up to phase one, and then put a hard cost together, getting that road in, and then staking the aerial grips, aerial sites. We could add that to the cost of the column, the first phase of the column barrier, well, then we'll have enough capacity and some options.
With the amount of grapes that are created.
Because you really can't do that road in phases, you have to tie it in right away. I guess, Mel, like, you're looking at this, is that the best configuration of it? Moving so close to Rexville Road, rather than more of a softening, maybe make it more gradual, but soften that to where it's less cumbersome on structures. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's kind of, it's a lot of curves there.
Yeah.
Tight curves.
That's my best. So maybe we take away some of the undulations and soften them to make it more flows better. Because if you're going to get up to that turn, you have to have that some type of radius at that point. And I would just measure off of, to me, how much you're going to walk to 20 years from now, if I'm going to walk from the road. So if we can find some balance in there, so that if you're walking for the next 5, 10 years, you're going to walk this side probably, you know, so much distance. And then after that, so much distance before you have to get the phase two road. So it's all balanced out in terms of the distance between actual walking to a cemetery plot. Like right now, we walk from phase in the older section, pull on the back road, side road, and there's a certain distance that you walk to get to a burial site for someone who's had it for 20 years. And so if we can use some of those more current burials to measure, we'll know the distance and use that same type of geometry to create that pattern that's less undulating and yet balanced in terms of how far you're going to walk to your gravesite 20, 30 years from now.
In the winter, like crabs.
Right, that's why. And you may have to put some paths in there, some walking paths to get to a
just seems that common sense still applies to it. At least we have something to work off of. So if Dave can put together, Annie can put together the fence cost, then Annie can work with Don to put the infrastructure cost, and then we can work with Kevin to frame up the, Kevin, do we want to bid this? Do we bid this out as a, we want so many calendarial trips?
Oh, I'd like not to bid it, just give it to us, not worry about it.
Yeah.
In all honesty, each city has done it differently. Some cities will bid it out, others will not. You know, I'm not afraid of it being bid out. You know, we certainly will outline for you all the different options, and usually we do it in Colorado when we're bidding. We'll submit 3 or 4 different bids, because we'll submit the bid that has the American granite, we'll submit the bid that's coming from overseas, we'll submit the bid that we're giving you warranties and attaching it to the granite and the structure of the column itself, because that's what you're going to find out there with bids, is that there's a lot of details that aren't always outlined as they should be or explicitly described to the city of the concerns you might have. So the one that we recommend, which is what I put to her, we issue a full perpetual warranty. It guarantees that column bearing is never going to fade, check, crack, discolor, prove defective in any way, or disassemble in that matter. And that's the one that we recommend, and that's, you know, why we guarantee it in writing. But there certainly are going to be options for you to get that a lot cheaper.
No, does anybody want to compromise on that?
No. I want American high quality.
So yeah, there we've got the first answer. Okay. No one's compromised on that.
Gotcha. I just see residents complaining about their loved ones getting rained on.
So no one wants to compromise on that, so we've reached that consensus. And then the timing, you can put, we've already read our, can you present, make a presentation in terms of, here's the cost. I think we decided three of them to begin the first phase. Would you recommend that based on our number of needs? And I don't know how fast these will be absorbed, because it's never been an option. But it is becoming more popular.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I mean,
give us your experience, please.
Just in talking with, you know, the idea of doing 3 now would be so that if you don't end up doing 6, it doesn't look unfinished in the meantime. I think that's certainly a good route to take. There's honestly nothing wrong with doing 1 now and seeing how it goes. From what we've experienced with the other cities that we've done this with, it's pretty good feedback. They get a lot of purchases up front. The one we did with Kent 2 years ago, we, in the process of building the first one, they bought the second one off of the sale they sold from the first one. So there's certainly examples of that being a really good turnout. The one we just set it in Brimfield in February, they're already planning to buy the next 2 in Garrettsville. They're doing a situation where there's, and we could do something similar with you, it doesn't sound like you might do the same, but they agreed to purchase 2, but they paid for 1 now, and they're going to pay for the second one January 1st, 2023. So that way they can spread the cost out over 2 budgets. So we're studying them both now because they know they have the need for them, but they're only paying for 1 now and then paying for 1 next year.
How many bulbs do they have in the ones that?
What you have designed here is 96.
Is that what they're bought? They bought, or?
Each of the Brimfield was 72, Kent was 96. Garrettsville is 96 as well.
What can I ask? 90s. What did they pay for 96?
96. Garrettsville was, the way that they had their setup was 33,000 and some change probably in there. That includes it being set in the cemetery. And then a typical crypt, depending on where you look around.
Is that with the full of guarantees?
Yeah.
The way you explained it earlier about you want to go with the lifetime guarantee.
Yeah, it has all the guarantees.
It's
not from, it's not American grant. The American grant would be more expensive if it's coming from the U.S.
What would you recommend?
On a small headstone, it's really easy to recommend using American grant, because the cost range is not that big of a difference. When you're talking about something that costs $33,000 from overseas, you know, if you did that from American grant, you know, you could easily double that cost.
So 66,000.
Yeah, you could easily say it would be 66,000 for the same.
Is anybody using that one?
I can't say that I know of anybody that has used recently. 2014, I know Talmadge had one that was American granite.
You're telling me 33,000, you get a lifetime guarantee?
And again, it's not lifetime, it's like of the column berry, yeah. Person, yeah, so it extends. It's you know, it's in the biggest change that I mentioned is seeing in email. The way you have it designed, there's that centerpiece on the top, the kind of keystone piece. We would not do that keystone piece. We would want the top to be all one solid piece. So you don't have to worry about a break point or a point where that can, that would be the biggest change. And actually that keystone piece, to make that roof two pieces and then have a centerpiece, would not only add cost, but it would cause you to have concerns about that seam eventually failing.
So we wouldn't want that.
You would have, yeah. I mean, you could do that look and make it all one piece and then hand cut that. Again, that's going to add a bunch of cost to still that would maintain your guarantee. But I would think that would be something that I wouldn't do myself just because you're adding cost just for a decorative look. But you know, that certainly wouldn't be something I would take away from a city if they decide that they wanted to do that.
Sorry, I just want to say that was just
I think I already said that was
to get it to be the dimension of what we were looking for. So that really wasn't an aesthetic I was trying to accomplish. But yeah, no, I definitely understand there.
What do you consider a lifetime?
Full perpetual. You all, the city, all its heirs and assignees for. I mean, if it was a human buying it, it's them themselves, their heirs and all their assignees for.
200 years.
Sure, 2,000 years.
Well, we have the area already put these in. I think it should be a priority.
Oh, we're talking about this, maybe for.
I mean, because my whole thought process on this is, I know like the expansion we all want to look into, but that could be 2 to 3 year process. You know, we're already at a point of traditional burial sites where we're starting to run down. At least this option may save us some time. Rushing through an expansion if we, you know, gave.
With for sale, the funds will.
No, I think if we were that, if we, you're saying that we have enough money appropriated for to build three of them.
Oh, American or not American?
Well, if it's just, if to do the ones that they're working with the perpetual guarantee that everybody else is buying.
I do prefer American, and I think our constituents would like that too. I'd at least like to see what the difference is, but
$66,000. I wouldn't. So, Kevin, that American Granite is that much more that it can be bought overseas and shipped here and still be half the cost.
Yeah.
Depends on what overseas. Is it Italy or?
Most likely not India.
India.
Depending on what color, I mean, so the color of the granite is determined just by where it's quarried. You know, each quarry is different colors, a different color. So, like, if you're thinking gray, India would be where we would recommend. You know, you certainly also could get a gray out of China. We would not recommend using a gray out of China. There's also a gray that comes from Georgia, which we don't recommend for memorials because it does have a tendency to rust when it's exposed to some winters. But that would still be American, but you wouldn't have the warranty. You could get a warranty on that, but it wouldn't include the discolorization. It could rust over time.
Unless you purchase 211 from everyone and let the people decide.
That would be
fun.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think that
would
be good.
And then you'll know
what they look like.
No, I mean, I bring you samples of both granite there. To somebody who doesn't know the difference between the two, looking at it from 12 feet away, you're not going to ever, the graining will be different. It'll be a slightly different graining of gray, but it's not anything that somebody would look at that and say, oh, that's. That doesn't look as good, or that looks just looks different, not better or worse.
Well, we can do two, one of each, to be within our.
And that's a lot of column barriers, though. We don't have that many barriers.
So then we have to.
Interesting.
Once we sign up, and the council approves it, we'd immediately start to market these to let them out to the people, the dependents, and their families. These are available. Is that would you wait? And the other thing that's wrong with it is the price.
Right. Yeah.
Is at that time would the policy be changed then of just selling current grave sites just if the death is imminent, or would we open this up to you got the money you can buy
residents?
Well, obviously that.
Pre-purchase.
Like they did for all the cemeteries. But and then the question is how much you know, if there's 96, say 100. It's costing you 40 times screw around. So you've got
$400 a piece, $100.
That'd be a pretty good deal.
Oh, yeah, well, cheaper than.
Yeah.
If you sold it for $400 a piece, you'd be the cheapest by far in the area.
Well, like, what's the market price?
I would say the least expensive I've seen is around $600 or $700, and that's just with the crypt, and then there's no way to get closing costs, and then the door has to be engraved, and depending on if you want to, some cities will source that to us, so you sell it, and you know, we'll carve it for a reduced cost so that you get some profit there too, other than just send the family directly to us.
I want Ryan to get his chisel out, is what I'm looking for.
On the high end, you know, like the Catholic Diocese, they have a lot of cemeteries in the area that we work with, they'll sell some crypts for $2,000. So, you know, you've got a big range. I'd say
$600 a piece. What's that?
I say a fair average is between $800 and $1,000.
800 to 1,000.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, we're at 450, I think, for ground. So.
Yeah. Just recoup your costs, right? Trying to profit off.
We've cost a lot of money to maintain the cemetery.
That's true.
Yeah. This is a one-time cost. So, openings, closing. So, the opening, closing, total cost, if we were to charge so much for a slot, and then when someone dies, just like right now, we charge a watch your cemetery plot, but then there's an opening in the get up panel. So then what we would do is then still go through the cemetery, through the funeral home? Is that how they still go through the funeral home?
So the opening and closing?
Yeah.
You can set that up however you want it. I think a lot of cities will let the funeral home take the opening and closing fee and then bring it to you guys directly, if I'm not mistaken. That's usually not our end.
Yeah.
You handle the opening and closing costs.
We cover any of those fees. We charge the opening fee as a cemetery.
Yeah, it occurring. We charge $475 for a plot now.
And then what is it for the opening and closing fee?
It's about $150, $100 or something.
So that happens to
opening and closing.
Does that go through the funeral home?
I think the funeral home uses an error.
So
I think they reimburse the city.
We get money back from the funeral homes.
I can see the paper check.
Stage.
Well, let's even if we say $600, is that something everybody finds outrageous? Considering what we just heard about what everybody else is saying, and then whatever the fees are to do anything on that goes on top of that.
And you could, I mean, on a columbarium, you could can't fit two remains in one crypt, so you could.
Did they both get along? Yes, no? One says yes, one says no, they want to.
So one quick question about that, and it kind of raises a point that I remember when Miss Pastor passed away, and there was all those urns from the animals. Would we allow somebody to bury animal urn in there if there's a room? I mean, most of the time,
it's for leg. What's that? It's for leg.
I'm just asking because I'm sure it'll come up.
Have you ever seen a burying animal room?
Oh, yeah.
A horse.
Yeah, people, I mean, people do it whether you know they did it or not.
Yeah.
You know, especially that's remains. But,
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, if you really want with just animals, force me to give you an answer. I'd say to do a separate columbarium just for animals.
Fine.
I don't know. You know, there's no
these five.
That question's gonna come out.
I'm not your man. It doesn't want to be buried next to Fido on the other
side. How big is the inside of the box?
12 by 12 by 12 is a good. I mean, it can vary depending. You know, 10 by 10 by 10, but somewhere between roughly is a cubic foot.
The ones that we'd be looking at, the one you price this rough, the same as you have 12 by 12 by 12?
Yeah, roughly 12 by, you know, it might be like 11 and 3 quarters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, it sounds like you ought to break even with any direction we're going. So, aside from the infrastructure costs or designing, I don't know that really needs to be in a 5-year plan.
So, we have enough money,
we have
here
money
to
encumber.
Start.
Yeah. To start, right?
And
now.
I believe this is kind of a break even.
Yeah, if we said $600 a piece, just to afford it and start advertising that way and see what kind of play we get out of it, then we might get some play interest. Now the question is, I think you mentioned earlier, is who's going to be eligible to buy these things? Are we still going to stick with the residents only?
I don't think so. I don't think so, yeah.
Former residents and residents.
What's our current policy? Do we include former residents?
Yeah, if they call up.
don't know.
Illegitimize the fact that they were here.
And we have a minimum years that they've lived here.
It's never been a controversial.
The only reason I ask is now you have an assisted living facility and you might have someone who was there 6 months and wants to be buried, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's a situation.
I would like to see them, like, you could pre-sell them. If you.
Yeah, we would pre-sell them just like.
Like we used to. And then, you know, we get enough money and then we can put the other section if it sells fast, so.
So go ahead. I was just saying, as far as, you know, building the other thing, you know, doing three at a time might make sense, but that second set won't match material wise. So, I mean, whether it's the granite or whether you're pouring the sidewalk at the same time, the mix is never gonna. If you know they're also gonna be on, but if we're trying to get a cohesive look, just know that it might be something there.
You had to throw a wrench in the works, right?
No two pieces of granite are gonna match to you, but I mean, if you're pulling granite, but overall, it's not gonna be a. But I guess I'm speaking, assuming you're doing a gray column bearing with black doors, you're not gonna have a huge difference in the color or the grading, because no two are the same. Granite comes out of the ground, you know, this portion of the black, this portion of the black, are the same minerals and the same, you know, feldspar, but the grading is never gonna be the exact same flow.
So we all agree on the gray frame and the black doors.
What other options are there? I've seen red.
There are hundreds of different options for granite. The gray column bearing is gonna be typically the least expensive option, with the exception of something that might be already cut in stock, that might be a one-off that would have a discount on it. Yeah. The doors, there are some standards. You know, black is one of the least expensive ones. There's some burgundy, which is kind of like a brownish, or chestnut, which is kind of like a brownish. There's some reds and some pinks that would all be at the same cost. But there's hundreds of different options.
Yeah, those stand out when you do them a little bit differently.
Gray with the brownish?
Yeah, you can do gray with brown. The other thing to think about is what you're going to allow families to engrave on the door. If you do a black door, you can etch that door, so people can put a photograph of themselves or some design work on there. There are some cities that will, you know, make it have a template to where it's just names and dates, and set up, you know, last name on top, given name, birthday, passing date, nothing else. Some cemeteries will let you put a description on that as well, you know, loving memory of. Others will let you put whatever you want. You know, you can put flower vases or photographs or pictures or design work. So you want to decide that at the same time you decide what kind of door it is. The black will let you etch, which gives you a lot more space. You can etch smaller letters where you can cut a letter.
Can you color the letters then with gold or?
You can't. The coloring obviously is not something that lasts forever. Usually you can use black or white, is what we recommend. So black and white fade, you don't notice as much as like a red fades.
Brown? What about a brown?
You can do a brown.
Brown with brown face.
So brown, yeah, if you do like a burgundy face story, we'd probably recommend you do some highlight, which is kind of like a whitish, kind of like a light white applied to it to make it stand out more. The gold, there's two ways to do gold. One is gold lithochrome, which is like a gold paint, which again fades. The other is gold leaf. Gold leaf is enormously expensive because it's from gold, it's related to the letters. Neither one of them, again, lasts forever, so there's no, but that's totally, you know, the litho or the paint is totally free when we apply it, so there's no change in cost there. We're talking about what the family pay. That'd be great.
So are you able to put together, come back, put together a packet of different color schemes, like gray or black, or
yeah,
the browns, and they'll give us
different schemes,
yeah,
give us something to look at.
Have us drawing, there's no cost for the consultation of drawing. Yeah, we'll do that as much as you want until you're happy with what you got.
Three different schemes, and American versus the,
yeah.
And then, is there anything else? And then what we'll do is we'll put together the cost fencing, I'll firm that up with Kevin's, put it together like your bid did. And then get that with Andy, and so then we'll bring it, just present it back to council.
Can we hear anything perpetual costs as well, because that stuff fades and every maybe 10 years or so you might have to fill it in. We just probably want to know that so that residents know what that, how that would work. Because if it's standing up, it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, they're going to say, whatever I pay, you're responsible after that.
But that's why I'm thinking we they should make sure they know that.
I mean, headstones, we've never, I mean, we replaced some of my great-great-grandfathers, they just, they're marble.
Melt, right?
Just to clarify, the lettering itself will never fade. Just if you wanted us to also paint the lettering after we carve it, that paint will fade, but the letters will still always be there. You'll always see them, but.
You show us some pictures.
Yeah, I bring a sample piece on a tile that has paint, doesn't have paint.
You give us the pricing based on a, you would firm something up, lock it in, and some examples, then we can just digest that and have something. If they want to reduce it to legislation, to move forward, we can just do that right away, get it approved, get it ordered, and we'll be able to start getting the public aware of what we're doing. They can start taking, we'll come up with a firm schedule pricing, you can help us put that together.
Sure, yeah.
Then we can just move forward on this.
Be nice to give a survey view of the different communities and what they charge, like we do on some other matters, and just so we have a good idea.
Maybe you can put together a summary of what others are costing.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty simple. It's all public, this is online, I can certainly get that for you, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll have benches and like that too for the public system.
Can I mention something on the fence?
Sure.
Be spending some more money. So the RTA bus stop that's there, our commute, getting home every day, there's 4 or 5 people waiting to get home. Maybe there's 2 of them that fit on the bus stop. Other individuals, it was a hot day last week, the guy standing under the tree in the shade. I guess before, talking about a fence, I don't want to come across as being hostile to the people that work in town and rely on public transportation. If we're putting the $1 million fence up, is there a way to integrate? That bus stop could probably be doubled. It could probably, some communities have the stone wall look. I mean, there's a way to do it nice, so we have a nice opportunity to do something with RTA at the same time we're improving our property. I don't know if there's, if we ever have any coordination, I think RTA is probably in the mode of spending more money in our town, but.
Well, there's certainly, the mayor, we put the bus stop in, they're certainly amicable to put a big bus stop in. It's all about ridership. You have to have so many riders per day. But, we kind of kept it small so it wasn't, pretentious. We didn't want to advertise a big bus shelter there. We certainly more seating next to it, just from the other, but obviously.
But to integrate it with, maybe if we lose a column and it's not as much, or you tie the fence to it.
Well, yeah, I see what you're suggesting.
We didn't have a lot of negative feedback with the size, because people with the headstones are pretty close. We didn't have any, I don't think we received any complaints.
No.
So, yeah, what we have there, wasn't there, so. But I see your point about wanting to integrate that into a, if we're going to do a fence type structure. The fencing, then we have the last component of the fencing is the arches over the existing future road. So we will put together the cost for fencing. We may have to put some foundations for the arch foundation, just not put the arches up right away. But I think Kevin's going to put together his bid. Submitting, but you understand that you had to hear the whole conversation.
Sure, yeah.
You've worked with,
You want me to come back and present that? Do you want to present
it for you? Yeah, work with Annie, put it together, and then present, come back. Once you're ready, we'll present it. And then we'll figure out the next step, what council wants to do, get this thing moving, how we want to roll it out in terms of, alerting people that we have an option. Meanwhile, Dave, you'll work on the fence, but then Don will take care of refining that road. And then once we get that down, we can determine a cost based on some of our quotes, our bids, to install that road. even if it's a 2023 issue, at least we'll push all three of these items down to where we can make decisions. Is that your goal?
Yep.
Mayor, if Kevin could include specifications for the footers, because that's something if we, you know, we choose to bid it out or do it internally, that way we, you know.
We give us a full price, and then you can take out what we're going to do, right?
Yeah, I can line it in and just put the foundations in there. The only thing I probably wouldn't include is just the sidewalk, around it. That's not usually, I mean, we could do that kind of work.
No, no, we can do that. Under the service department. If you could put that together, then Annie can, thank you, Annie, for getting Kevin. He was very educational, so that was really good for at least my benefit. So we'll get the submitted bids. We'll be able to move forward on the common barrier wall. We'll also move forward on getting some fence pricing. We'll move forward on the final layout for council's review and approval in terms of the pavement for the next phase. That fair?
Yeah, sounds good.
Great. But, okay, yep. The next, no, we're good. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
The next one was, you know, I had some people question, like, what Independence considers, like, a split burial, whether it's, you know, traditional and ashes, or if it's, you know, so I just, we were going to just kind of define what Independence's split burial is for residents. So, I'm not 100% sure how we define it. Annie, did you when we talked, did you have a chance to? Oh, jeez. Well, Kevin was really biased about it.
There she is. Did you have a chance to see what our split burial was? Was it? Did you mention it, talk about it, or no?
No, I didn't.
That's fine. I mean, it was.
Is it defined somewhere? Is your question?
Yeah. It was defined someplace in, you know, in the cities.
Well, tell me what you're talking about.
Well, it was, they asked, I mean, is it, you know, are, can save on purchasing of traditional sites, can you bury top and bottom, or does it always have to be side by side? Can you do, you know, one traditional burial, one ash burial? And I was just trying to, I wanted to.
Okay. I didn't understand. Well, we can. The burials, the formal burials, you put two, one on top of the other. I think you could do a lower burial and then do urns on top. I'm not sure side by side, let's say two of them, but then that, you're not really defining that.
Yeah, these were just, this was just a question that I had been asked.
So residents. Perhaps part of that question is, could you bury four people in one plot?
With urns.
I guess with urns you can do that, but with caskets, can you do that? I got that question. Two is all.
Two. So we dig down. I guess probably this out there, they hadn't realized that. You put two, you go 6 foot.
6 foot.
6 foot width, but by the time you have the vault, you're only, you're probing the top of that, so you're 6 inches to a foot deep. That's all you are.
Oh, right.
With the top.
The upper one.
Yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
Because I didn't think they could do the double deep, you know, the width and vault.
We do double deep.
Okay.
We do double.
Someone told us when we buried my mom.
As a matter of fact, I just asked this guy, because he just put one.
So do we have, Ryan, do we have these types of things in writing as part of a policy or anything? Or?
Can we suggest looking at legislation? Because I think I know we legislate the price of
the pricing, right? Yeah.
And there's some, I think there's a little of description in there about what those prices that you get. And I bring that up because if we do a burial plots as legislated, I am answering that we're going to legislate the price of common burial plots.
Maybe it's a good time to put all of these ideas into, I don't know if it has to be in legislation per se, but maybe in a policy form that can be reviewed on a periodic basis. Just look at, so I'm thinking like closing costs of 150 for a regular opening. That makes sense. But if I got a columbarium, does it still make sense to have opening closing costs of that expense? So Because now you're almost close to what it costs to bury somebody. So we have to think about that. And then they have to get the engraving. So we might want to take a look at those types of, all those types of policies, put them into one major policy that everybody agrees to. Because this is a different way of thinking. This is different. And we charge people the same. We charge people the same for a current burial with a with ashes as well as for that may not be fair either. So we might want to just look at all those opportunities and find out where we want to be with them.
So if we just move on to the next one. Yeah. Okay. So number five, over the last probably 2 years, I've had several veterans, residents, you know, approach me either during or after Memorial Day services about the section next to the Veterans Monument where they have purchased the name, the limestone nameplate, and over the years, because due to a bad base, they've either cracked or crumbled, and you can't see their names anymore. So Ron and I have been working on trying to spruce it up, that part of the square with some cement around the flagpole, a little sidewalk in front, and this is our last portion. To go back with limestone blocks with their names on it, and engraved, it's extremely expensive. It was, Ron, it was what, like $44,000 to replace all those?
It was like $31,000. The problem with the limestone, when we started picking them up, they just broke in half. So we did some pricing. Model monuments for limestone ones, $31,000 to replace them.
Now there's 420 blocks that sit there.
Right.
These are the name plates that go from the sidewalk to the monument.
It's on the 21
side. Yeah.
So it's 425.
Limestone, but it's falling apart. Limestone, you pick them up and they're just.
We just sat with a friend the other day. When we were up there for the prayer service, so two of them cracked.
It looks bad.
We were just going to try to pick them up and redo the base and put them back in, but we can't even do that. They're just crumbling in our hands.
That's like all pieces now.
So I started getting some pricing. Milano's $32,000 for limestone. Then we thought about Great Granite. Milano's $42,000 for Great Granite. Then we found Eternity Monuments. They're about $17,000 for Great Granite. And it looks like one of those.
We some little sample of the guy I talked to about this.
I was just going to say, should we get the deck in here again? This is the Great Granite.
That's the Great Granite.
That's the sample we picked up in South
America.
That I can't answer. I don't know.
But you figure this, in great, you know, some of those people's blocks that are there, they're no longer with us, so we can't go back to them and say, hey, we want to replace your block. You know, are you willing to put money towards it? So it's something that the city may, you know, have to assume the cost of it. But like Ron and I said, this would be a forever thing.
The thought was to replace the base with concrete pads,
yeah,
and then glue those down. Yeah. That'd be great, and it's a lifetime repair.
Because they, rather than doing individual stones, it would be more cost effective if they did like sheets of it.
So another option would be to like stamp concrete,
yeah,
and then try to get some to engrave after you have them, is another thought. I don't know anybody that does that, that engraves tons.
But it's cheaper.
But this is, yeah, this is the sample he had.
Well, that wouldn't crack.
No. Well, those would last forever.
Yeah.
With the concrete base under it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the concrete base is absolutely got to have that, because that's one of the problems that things are shifting and breaking.
Are those good for locking? Is it slick? I mean, it's like a stand concrete. I mean, there's a slickness to it, for sure.
So the other question that comes in is do you want to reopen sales of those? Because now people have been, we did it in 93 through 95, I think, was when most of those sales went through. So you got new people in town who might want to pay tribute to a loved one the same way. We can put together a private fundraising campaign to supplement city, you know, services. We did that last time, and got a lot of donations actually that way. there's a few things I think we can do, and you know, maybe we have new people who want to honor loved ones. Maybe you can even have around the memorial or something with some of the other parts of it, just to make it longer term.
Well, that was my next part. How do we want to brainstorm on, so the city would have to pay all that to do that stuff, you know?
There's two very philanthropic funeral homes in town that like to take on projects like this.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, we could probably make a dozen phone calls and take care of it, right? You know, I mean, I think you could, I mean, with the corporate community, and put a little nice marker next to them. But also maybe reopen it to, if you do it the way was it you mentioned, Anthony, maybe you can have more space, and then you can engrave other people's names, and then you can pay for it, and that can pay for this as well.
The original, when we put those stones in that had the names leading to the monument and everything, they're all veterans. And my dad was.
No, you could. Anybody
could
buy.
Oh, okay, so not just. It was title of my dad's. We got one framed, but I can't remember how long ago or how much it cost. But
it was not much.
It wasn't a lot of money.
No, might have been $50.
$25.
$25.
$15. What did we say? How much
did
that
those
cost?
I did it. Yeah.
What was that? That's the blocks.
Yeah, it was starting for me. It was starting for me. You're right about many.
$17.
All the names are black.
That's something to put the names.
That would be $17,000 from just. That's what we were brainstorming now on how to.
We're all at the door.
I think some of us are pretty.
You can agree. It's based on the size.
And you use four different sizes. You have a 5x10, 5x5, and then a 10x10.
Sure, I like that.
And then another 5x10, but engraved. Two are engraved and two are not. So we have 46 blank 5x10 bricks. 38 5x5 blank bricks with no engraving. There's five engraved 10x10, 336 engraved bricks, 5x10. So it's all based on the size of the bricks and whether or not they need engraving.
Okay.
That's how the price breaks down.
So, I mean, if we had a 5x10 engraved, that would be. What? So you're saying that the overall.
$10,080 for 336.
Yeah, there was another approach that Dave was kind of brainstorming about, was maybe just pave it nicely. Have a plaque with the names of the individuals who paid for the original pavers, and so that way it might be a little less expensive and more functional. You don't have to worry about the engraving part of the whole place.
So it would break down to like a $30 a block.
Based on 425.
Based on
blocks.
425 blocks. So
that was 20 what it was. These would be granted, though.
Or these would be granted. So, but like Anthony had mentioned, you know, go to just to two funeral homes and see if maybe they will want to
contribute,
or, you know, maybe there's some veterans in town that would want to contribute a donation towards it.
Yeah.
So,
well, we can do that.
Yeah.
Some prices and see if there are any contributions. Put that together, summarize it so that we can know exactly what we're talking about. We had so many that wondering some of the internal emissions going to cost.
Okay, we'll move on to the city hall now. We'll go over the new pricing for the air handlers and the windows, just so we can get up to speed on that. Yes. Okay, so Dave, you got a new.
Yes.
Okay.
Price obviously went up, but I just got another price. Yes. The last price
it's $228.
No, this is.
Light price, I got order.
That's what I got.
It started at $196.
Okay.
And I think your price here is what, $235, I think. I'm sharpening a pencil, $228.
This is something different that I have here.
Oh.
Are we talking about the air handlers?
We are.
Yeah.
So these three pages that I have, the mayor has, and Mr.
Well, these are the prices.
This is the price, so the company that we were priced out was a carrier company, an installing company. And they came in at $236,000 for the three air handlers. This is the price, $43,600, that the City of Independence can purchase these three units through the consortium for.
All three.
All three units for $43,600.
Not installed.
Not installed. Price of equipment through the consortium. There is a gentleman that owns a company in Independence, Northeast Climate Control, his name's Jim Deblock. He has been working with the schools for the last year and a half and has saved them a ton of money on all their HVAC systems. He's willing to come look at the three air handlers and give us an estimate on what it would cost to install them. He's figuring a rough cost of about $125,000 to install these three units, which is roughly a savings of almost $100,000 for the air handlers, going with the city purchasing them and then having this other person install them. So this was something that I wanted to bring up with us, because that's, to me, $100,000 is a big savings, especially now. So
buys a lot of fence, brother.
Well, it buys a lot of everything. So
what do you have there right there? You have 40.
This is the direct quote for the carrier. Yeah, 43,000.
125. So you're at 160. You're at 170. They're at 228 installed.
So
you're at about 170. You're 58,000. You're 60,000. I'm not against your fellow business and doing it. I'm just, you know, these are carriers, you use the same product, and, you know, it's carrier doing it. So, yeah, I mean, I never saw that.
I just say, I think we would have an obligation to look at that, right?
Well, I mean, to me, yeah. I mean, 125 was a rough game without looking at him. So, but he's also a resident. He's helped the schools out tremendously over the years, and he's willing to help the city out because he lives here. So, before I had said, well, hey, meet me at City Hall and we'll go look at him. I wanted to bring it in front of us to see what our thoughts were on that before I went and, you know, said, hey, come and look at him. So, I mean, I'm just trying to save us some money, so.
Yeah, sure. Well, you would have to go through the bidding process.
Right.
Dave, do you know what the equipment price was in your quote?
I know he didn't break it down. It's a carrier quote, and that was installed. He had a little bit more work to, you know, that was, now those units, Chris, I don't know if he would have to open the roof up. They were going to, carrier was going to assemble these on site, because we didn't have to open up the roof if we crane them in. So, in other words, what we were going to do is take out one dormer, and we were going to bring units in and out, the pieces, parts, you know, installed together.
Right.
But sure, they'd be more than happy.
Yeah, so I, you know, he said it could be less. He just wanted the opportunity to come look at it.
And Chris, how would we handle if there was like an issue with the startup on that? Does it fall on carrier or is it?
He would do everything. Because that's what he's doing now. They just replaced a big unit up at the high school that he did the whole project. So, and they bought the equipment through the consortium instead of going through like, you know, it saves the school money, so it saves the city money. So.
And this last quote I got from Carrier was $228. So we could go from there, and certainly. I just think, you know what, if you'd like to entertain that, get them here as soon as possible, because like I say, the price went from $196 to $230 by months. You know what I mean?
Right. So I mean, there's still like a 5 to 6 month.
Oh yeah, it's
wait. Definitely
so,
wait. So
sure. 6 month bill.
But you know, if I got the
blessing of everybody, I'd at least like them to come look at it.
Well, yeah, talk to Dave and look at it.
Because he may not be factoring in having these things come through a dorm or piece them all together upstairs.
Right.
Maybe they add labor costs.
So.
We're looking at these shows.
Okay, thanks. Then, Dave, I have the estimate from the windows that you gave me back, I don't know, a month or two ago.
Yes.
From Pella.
Yeah, the new estimate is, yeah, just kind of updated because, you know, same.
Yeah, this one is March 30th of 22 that I have.
Okay. Current price right now is $181,649.
So it's already gone up $10,000.
It's already gone up $181,649. That's Pella. Well, that's what we have here. He's been starting out of his leg replaced in kind. Everyone tells a very, very good company. And, you know, that's all of it, 71 windows. That's installed, everything. The same stain inside, outside, it's all aluminum clad. He would bring us samples of windows. That's at all. It's in, the mutton bars included in the glass. So we wouldn't have to take the mutton bars out. These are on the exterior, these windows themselves. But a lot of the windows in the building, the sills are rotted out. They're 40 years old.
I mean, you open a window and then you got it. They don't want to lock. You got to push the top window back up to lock it. I mean,
it's just time.
The big window and chambers is smoked already.
Yeah. There's a lot of, that includes all the dormer windows, all the chamber windows. I think the only windows it does include are the real small ones, the fixed windows that are in the jail. And they're just windows. You know, they're small, very small. But the rest of the windows, there's 71 windows that include. So everything's the same.
Does Jim do windows too?
No. So, you know, just by looking at it, you know, over less than 2 months, the price has already gone up $10,500. So
I can try and have a sharper pencil on that, but just says it's just, you know, and I get it. You know, I went and ordered something today from Ms. Hester Carr. The book, the catalog we just got, we just received at the beginning of the year, the price of the item was $110 in the catalog. I went to order, it was $184.
So I think, you know, moving forward with both of those topics, hopefully by the end of tomorrow, we can have some type of light at the end of the tunnel on where we're going to be with the budget. And maybe we can dig deep and see where we sit moving forward with one of these two options.
So it's not cost effective or effective to replace only the windows that are blown and you should replace the entire city hall? Is that what's recommended?
Well, I mean, like, anytime, to me, Dave, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, here, the more, to me, I would always feel the more windows you purchase, the better of a discount per window you're going to get.
If it includes that.
Just, you know,
you know what I mean? I mean, it's, I don't want to expect a better analogy, maybe, but what an analogy, I mean, are you going to place a blower motor in your furnace, or are you going to replace your whole furnace? You know, it's 30 years old. Floor motor really went bad, but the rest of the components are 30 years old too. The windows are a little bit different, but I figure if they're here, and, you know, if you're going to, I mean, this is your house.
And you got to remember, we'll save on, you know, utilities with heating and cooling system because they're going to be more insulated windows, so your utility should, you know, come down. So I think on something like these two items, after we hash out this budget, we can see what we have to put aside for it, and then
these two, you could kind of make that decision independently of tomorrow's discussion, because just going off of the previous purchase orders, previous encumbrances, there is $225,000 for the year in English already encumbered, and for the windows there's $190,000. So $190 would cover the current estimate of $182, and the current $225,000 the air handlers, if point and cover the $236,000 quote, but if the hybrid of buying them for $47,000 and having an installer install them for about $125,000, then obviously the $225,000 already encumbered would be enough for that. So you don't have to wait till the bigger picture discussion for those. Those have been planned for since as far back as 2016, so that one is there.
Okay. Well, if we have 190 encumbered already, and it was 2 months and it went up $10,000, there might be something we want to jump on here pretty soon before this just ends up to be $200,000 for the most for here. So, Dave, is there, do we know if there, what's the leeway on windows, like, once they're ordered?
12 weeks.
If they're somewhat standard. If they're not, it could be...
You pretty much assured me that, they make them, you know, they have their own factory. You pretty much, Carl Kerr pretty much said that it was still in good shape.
Okay.
In 12 weeks.
Yeah, I don't want to change the windows in the middle.
They make a lot of custom windows. I'll check with them.
I'll make sure at a time and some of them take them all out.
It's probably ensure these are start receiving. Even with Pella, obviously, that's a big
idea.
But even within a brand, they have different qualities within.
Yes.
So you want to make sure for Pella that we're not the low end Pella.
Correct.
Better off going with another brand.
They're commercial grade, but I will bring some.
The film, any other protections? Like, you don't need the protection on that side, you need the protection on this side. Because the sun beats on this side.
I can,
there's different.
I mean, there are they're probably UV rated there, but I mean, I'll make sure. But I can check that. I mean, most of our windows have shades in them. I mean,
yeah, I'm just suggesting that if you're like the front doesn't really mention that side, the north facing windows don't need that extra element. But
I'll talk to
like these, sure. And then the sides. Mm-hmm. They're beaten and the sun's beaten and
sure.
There's different elements and different
grades. Sure. I agree with you.
So is this since you guys want to move this to committee and let council talk about it?
Absolutely.
So it just, I don't know if you need to. If you've got the funds,
right.
We just
I
don't know if it's 11. Since we're here, they're saying. Let's get the price estimate, let's get the estimates, and then...
It's just a current guy, but I'll have Carol, if you'd like to talk to Carl Kerr from Pella, I can have Kerr, and any day, I mean, he'll come any day, if you have another meeting coming up, if you want to feel more comfortable about anything.
I would recommend that we go with the Pella to replace all 71 windows in City Hall.
Let me just ask first, though, before you put an end to it. Is this considered a specialized purchase that we don't have to go out to bid?
We
receive competitive proposals, or
they have.
We would need to bid that. We could use the Pella specs, and if somebody like if Anderson has the same window that meets Pella specs, they come in, you know, less. You know, council would have the option of. You know, saying, okay, we want to save a couple bucks here or whatever, or no, we can lowest best bid we feel would be Pella because it's the original windows we get. But it certainly would have to go out to bid.
Well, could we go through one of the state contracts?
I don't know if they have it. Pella has
the state contract. I don't know if they have state, but they have the other consortiums that I believe they do.
Well, let's find out.
Okay, yeah. I will.
All members of council here are saying, go ahead, go forward. They're just, if you can do it through one of the consortiums or processes,
yes.
Right? If not,
yes.
You have to bid them out.
Yeah. Carol first state.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next one, I know for the Civic Center, we had discussed earlier in the year, the different upgrades, the kitchen, the different things that needed to happen at the Civic Center, so I figured I brought Tommy and Emily in so then they can discuss on both sides of the Civic Center quickly on what they feel is most important for them. So,
who wants to start, Emily or Tommy?
Sorry.
Okay.
So the three major capital projects I'm working on from the community service side First is the repainting of the banquet rooms. The paint that was originally applied, about the correct philosophy, so we've been working with Dennis and the original vendor to have them come back out and repaint that, so it's proper paint. One of the challenges with the paint is that it's just simply hard to clean, so the spills go on to the upper part of the wall. And if you've been in the city center, you'll see that, and it's just the wrong type of paint, so we can't wipe that away, so. So they use a matte paint instead of a gloss, semi gloss.
The interior wall?
On the interior wall, so on the blue, like the upper wall, it's just the wrong type of paint. And so, there's stains on it, like it's pulling off, because people try to hang things, even though that's supposed to be pulled off, so they're just under the touch, at least like, so to speak. So that when people come in and rent it out for either private events or larger scale events, that it looks, you know, like a premier community that we are. So we've been going back and forth with the vendor for a few months now, trying to get them to come back out and do the job correctly.
So they actually applied the wrong product?
That's correct, yes.
What had happened is they changed the sheen in the paint because the imperfections in the wall were showing. And when they lowered the sheen, it, Dave, what do they call it, flashes?
Yeah, flashes, yes.
We had Brad go back out here to find out. That's why he agreed to repaint the room, and I guess there's been some scheduling issues, or they haven't returned the call to get them back in and repaint it.
So that's product number one. Product number two is the atrium furniture ordering. So we had a couple of vendors that we were working with previously who sort of just goes to best use the new age term. So we found a vendor that we really like to work with, has been very responsive and can meet our needs, and so we got an initial quote from them. And while Dennis has everything, all the specs to kind of get that out formally, it's going to be probably a $38,000 to $50,000 project, depending on the vendor that we go with. We've kept the process moving forward by looking at finishings and things of that nature for furniture with this one company, so in the hopes that they're the vendor that comes out on top of the bidding process, and we can move forward quickly to have that new furniture in by the end of the year. Furniture that's been in the atrium is just simply old. Falling apart, breaking some of the pieces have been since removed, obviously for safety reasons for our residents to sit in. So it's just time for a facelift of that as well. And then the largest project, obviously, is the kitchen grant. We've got a $100,000 grant from the state. So the application is due June 30th. And so we had two vendors that came up, did a walkthrough of us to our kitchen to quote out prices for the various appliances that we needed, and talking through some drawings from US Food is the one vendor. Right now, their price point is best compared to the two, which is otherwise Trimark. In addition, US Foods provides a free drawing as opposed to Trimark that costs several thousand dollars just to come out and do the drawing. So as we're finalizing kind of the layout between what those vendors have done, we'll have our contractors out just to take a look at the kitchen. The contractors initially came out first and quoted them on a higher end, about $250,000 for the work, which we just use. You know, flooring, paint, kind of the redoing of the plumbing and electricity for some of the appliances that we were looking to order. But after having US Foods come in, they were able to provide us with a reconfiguration that would actually save us money because it wouldn't need to do as much construction to kind of move things around. And so once we have kind of those final specs from them, we'll be going out to bid just to make sure, obviously, that we understand kind of the price points of any other vendors that might be in the area. And the state's already aware that we're going to ask for a 6-month extension to complete the project by the end. So the work can be done in less than 2 months from a construction standpoint, and then the appliance here within a 4-month time period. Six, 16 weeks, more like 12 weeks. But the benefit of that is obviously our appliance is going to be updated, so we use until those come in, so we can get the actual construction work done, so these are appliances, and then a lot of our appliances
to other areas in the city, so we don't have to just sell those. Those are the three main updates on this project.
Thank you.
And yeah, just to report, so the atrium carpeting for all the runners was ordered. That should be in the month of June. The vendor will come in and cut all the carpeting to the proper specs and to proper sizes. That's supposed to be happening in June. The rest of the
other main project that we would like to do, but we're looking at more of a holistic approach, is the locker room upgrades, and then obviously if you want to go and expand the pool area of the civic center, the treatment, the auditorium area, and then also would be the entrance area, so she can't be, we haven't gone much further on that, just because we've been swamped the past 2 months with high traffic, higher summer staff, and the two big projects we have going on now. So, and once we get the next 2 weeks out of our way, we get the outdoor pool open, all this, these things going, we're gonna hear heavy on the it's pricing for some of the civic center upgrades I just talked about. So, splash pad project is going good, we're about 95% complete, there's a test to complete, and some testing. We plan to open it for Sunday with the hot weather that's been coming up.
For when the pool?
When the pool opens.
You have to pull everything open up.
Everything open, yeah.
Not to be, take you off your game, but when we finish up, I apologize.
Oh, that's true. And then the basketball courts are a little bit delayed with the weather we've had. They're about 90% of concrete's done. We just gotta get new some drains before they put the last sidewalk in, because we've got some grading issues around there. But we're hoping to have those open about the first or second week of June, so.
Perfect. Has anybody walked and saw the splash pad? It looks really, they've done a great job up there.
Yeah.
It looks, I mean, you know, I applaud the rec department, because they did, I would say, what, 80% of the work? With the concrete and grading.
Yeah, but you know, these guys helped out, service helped out too, and it was a joint effort.
Joint effort, I applaud y'all.
There's a lot of logistics we had to go through, reworking the assistant sprinkler system. Yeah, there's just a lot of things we had to, you know, but it worked out, so.
So, how about for the opening, do we have enough lifeguards and workers for the concession store?
We're up to 47 lifeguards.
Wow, that's, what do we normally have?
Close to 60. We're up to 47, we're almost there.
That's great.
How many of them have actually done? Yeah, they're about, they're 34, so we were down this time, so.
Well, wow, if I remember correctly, mayor said he put on his Baywatch bathing suit. He'll be out there for shorthanded.
They steal one of those protectors, not just put it on. Give me the jet ski too, that's.
You're an asshole.
I'm with Fred in that one.
Yeah.
I said, interesting.
Kids, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Listen, the fourth graders today, they're asking for a little bit more than just a standard ice cream. Rooter floats.
Okay, rooter floats.
We'll do a lot of rooter floats.
Did they say that?
They did.
They did. They were coming out a little bit, but they did say that.
We have fountain pop in there now or no?
Yes.
We might have still rooter in there.
Crazy.
So we're gonna charge the rest of $5.
It's mom's money, mom, but that's money anyway.
Tommy's rooter float.
So, pretty confident with our lifeguards, and then just maintenance people are still having trouble getting maintenance people.
Unbelievable. That's all.
So we're still hiring residents only?
Well, no, we're hiring whoever we can.
If you hire residents only, they won't have anybody with you.
You can't hear much. It's terrible out there.
Terrible.
And we've jacked up the rates.
Much more are you paying? Much more an hour are you paying for lifeguards?
We're starting at 12. Last year's 10.50, so $100.
So I was at the pool place in Strongsville last week.
Guy says he's been at our pool. He works for Medina. See Medina now with their pools.
Said they're at 16 an hour for lifeguards and they can't get them.
Better than that.
They're not even open in some of the pools. That's a 50,000 people.
Yeah,
recruits.
So that's
your
money. I know. It's where we live in now.
Kids
don't want to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I have those kids sitting out
there. So the schools have to go through more service hours so that we can put them to work. Like, we got these three guys today.
Right. Yeah.
Right, a whole mistake this morning.
Pretty gun ho.
Yeah. We're gonna have custards tomorrow. We got some shakes.
Yeah, huh? That's good. So then, we're done with Civic Center, we'll move on to additional parking for the T-ball field. A couple weeks ago,
I guess one question is, Charlie. Well, so we exposed all the different areas, what else do you want us to do to prepare council for some of these opportunities?
Well, I think the, you know, out of the list, the majority of the list is just kind of bring everybody up to date on where we were at. Moving forward with the calendar, which we discussed.
I'm sorry, I'm talking more specifically about the
Civic Center. Oh.
Didn't you want to talk about some bigger picture issues?
Well, I mean, that, a little bit, why don't you finish up the T-ball and then we can go.
Oh, yeah, because I figured there was that infrastructure one that we could.
That'll address that.
Right, so the additional parking for the T-ball fields, a couple weeks ago, Ron and I were kind of driving around looking at different things. And Ron had mentioned that we may be able to move that, you know, push that mound on the north end of our property line. That kind of butts the Lucasen property, and we might be able to gain some more spots heading towards.
Yeah, schematic. It's like back there, the square footage and everything.
The pools.
Areas, and describes an area, he's talking about this area right there. Obviously, the road going back to the shop, we have to move first and foremost. I know that's why the council gave you all that equipment, so you can go get after it, but why did the council give you all that money, that's the new equipment, did you get all the new equipment yesterday?
You're gonna be okay out of the new road.
Obviously, I've been following it for. I don't want to say, because you will.
Actually, I wanted to use that road as a rent, renting a paver, and use that as a training for the guys.
Yeah, I thought that'd be a great house. Looking around, I thought that.
I think that'd be a good idea. But I just, yeah, because I think that road needs to be solid concrete.
But wait, once, I, you know what, and I concur at the right time.
You're right.
Because, we'll talk about this a little later, but the rest of the master plan for the property, and that's, you're right, I agree with you at the right time. Right now, we just have to be open for business.
Right. So Ron, if I'm, we're looking at the picture, the 15,277 square foot, that area there is where we talked about?
Yes.
Just kind of.
Just adjacent to the existing parking.
Correct, just kind of taking down that buffer mound a little bit, and then.
Some of it's got gravel in there now, some grindings, so there's a dirt mound behind it.
I don't think it needs to be a perm, like a, it doesn't need to be asphalted at this point, or a permanent, you know, until later day, but if we're able to clean up that area and then put gravel or grindings in there, this way at least it'll give people some extra places to park instead of double parking on the road that nobody wants to ride on. So, any thoughts?
It seems like the parking problem occurs when one game's ending and another one's beginning. Would it be practical to space out the game times a little bit so you don't have that? Because once the game starts, there seems to be empty parking.
So, I talked to Dimitri, it's if he had any ways of trying to facilitate a little bit different parking, and he says, biggest thing that we see now is that there's more grandmas and grandpas and extended families coming to watching the kids play than just mom and dad coming and watching the kids. So with that, you know, if we just had mom and dad coming, we'd be okay. But now that you're bringing that extended family to watch is where we're suffering in some spots.
Residents only, man.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Not for grandparents. So are you saying you can go in there and take out that mound, and we can base that out? We can add some temporary parking?
More or less, yes. I'm a little shy in grindings currently, but I have enough to get started.
I mean, is there any objection to going in there and taking the mound out, basing it out so that we can accommodate the parking, and then fix that hall road in, or fix the access road up, and then
least we'd be ready for the season.
Did you have that liability just to go if you didn't do it quite right in terms of flat tires?
If you, Baylor, if you thought about it or anything, if you, you could certainly use the tech service parking lot and put a roller over that brick and just pave that if you wanted to. That's a pretty easy walk from this. That just thought.
How easy would it be to put a little walkway access into on the east side of the ball diamond area? Walking into the, you parked at the, you're saying you parked at tech services?
Sure, got a lot of parking.
You walked due north?
Yes.
You put a culvert or a bridge?
You know, bridge or culvert.
That?
I don't know what you need there. Put a little bridge, I guess.
Like we had one of the apps
I mean, just for more, I'm saying, just a thought.
We'll look at that. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at that property. I'll meet you back there and we'll go over it. Okay. But you got to get that patched up, that road patched up, or at least patched up for when the season started, Pat.
Friday, this past Friday.
Yeah, so we're there now. That's why.
Red patching.
That's like when I, you know, when I mentioned,
yeah,
I mean, so that's why like I mentioned, like, Dave, it's a good idea for a bridge, but I'm looking for something that, you know, Ron can take 2 or 3 days and he can level that out and park a bridge and that may take time. Because the issues started last week. So.
Grinding right place.
Roll it. Nice grinding roadway.
But, yeah.
It ends right before 4th of July.
Back in place. Hold it back in place. Yeah, you know, those grinders and recycle them.
Yeah.
And just put some materials in it or spray some of it, I think, of it.
That's not long term.
No. It's a season.
Yeah, I've been that out.
Yeah, I was going to try to put something in up on bids, but that's kind of stupid.
No, we didn't get done like yesterday.
So, John, do you know anybody that might be able to donate some grindings?
No.
Don't know.
But, yeah, the season, it's really just a month, so yeah, I wouldn't go crazy with it. And I looked at that too, you know, could I just park at tech service? Now I'm going over there all the time. The one thing, my kids go in the creek, they're watching them. I gotta make sure they put a gate on it or something.
Wide, I mean.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No, and it really, even to park at the library, it's not a far walk.
No, it's not.
You gotta go through the playground, so you lose a kid, maybe. There's enough parking around.
Okay, we're gonna see if I can fix that.
Okay, then we're on to number 10. Infrastructure investment strategy.
Well, basically what I'm talking about there is planning money. We invested in some dollars to put council in a position where we could give direction to some of these specific areas. In other words, taking the existing area plans that we put together several years ago and maybe add new ones to and rework or refresh those plans so that we could then look at Cloverleaf, we could look at the campus, we could look at downtown, we should look at the Northwest Quadrant, we could look at Hemlock, and put some money into updating, refreshing those area plans and create a new area plan for Hemlock. And then bringing back the council, public buildings, lands, or a workshop that would allow us then some more definitiveness. At least council would then be in a position to say, I like this, don't like this, here's what I want to do, give me some answers on this, and this is more strategic than anything else, but using the existing area plans that we put together and then refreshing them. And then put, like, for example, we talk about all this infrastructure Meet the schools, they get a focus. And then we have to incorporate all their ideas into a mix. We have to incorporate our upgrades to the Civic Center, the footprint. What are we doing with the service garage? What are we doing with some of the additional properties available to this campus? The infrastructure, the utilities, and be able to put together a plan together and not just react to the school's plan, but actually see what really makes sense. Like, do we have 3 schools? Do we have 2 schools? Do we have, what's a long-term play for the schools? And do we use, and talking with the fourth grade teachers and those system, one of the long-term strategies is multi-generational inclusion. You can do that with the city being part of an infrastructure program with the existing schools, or the new schools as they like to have it. So it's utilizing our resources and also planning for the future, at least putting 7 people here in a position where they can play what if and have some good data to plan with, rather than, you know, dusting something off and then have to refresh it. The strategy is to, and we'll put this together in terms of quantifying what it's going to take for each of those areas to be able to upgrade them, look at them, and then the council would have to determine what makes sense, if there's rezoning or repurposing, utilization. It's just more of a, when we come to putting dollars, when we have to put some money into planning. Just like an example, a small example would be what Annie was able to do, bring an expert in who wants to look at a Calabari wall, answer a lot of our questions. Mm-hmm. And so if we keep doing things like that, we'll be able to put ourselves in a better position to make better decisions because we'll have more data. And take that concept, let's now talk about an entire area. Say, okay, I have good information, see what's going on. I want to be ahead of that situation rather than waiting here for someone to show up one day and we miss the train because we didn't think out of the box, bigger picture.
With respect to that, Mayor, would it make some sense to do some visioning first, just kind of brainstorm what could happen and then direct the area plans as opposed to the area plans first and then come? Would that make some sense?
Yeah, you know what? Why don't I get the old area plans, pull them up, we'll get economic development and planning to pull up, and then we can at least play what if internally. And then maybe that from that, then we can determine how bringing a professional for this or bringing a professional or somebody with an expertise.
Define it a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm comfortable with that.
Well, and if we prioritize too, which ones we focus on. So we're doing the shotgun approach, then we're all over the place. But if we're able to direct it more to what we think are the highest priorities and not just scatter the money over all of those.
Lovely day, our 14.
So two points I heard. One was, going backwards, that what are the priorities of these areas that we want to look at in terms of the potential development? And then taking those existing plans laying out a map, an overall map, and then having each customer weigh in and add some narrative to that before we hire somebody to refine it further.
So I think you could use those experts based on the brainstorming that we come up with, so then you know who you go out and get based on what the thought process is.
Yeah, that's fine. So is there any other suggestions other than the brainstorming of the each area plan and priorities once we, I guess, add a second tier of trying to figure out what we want to do to grow up?
I would also think that at some point in time we would want to bring the schools into that discussion and any other public entity that we would want to have. If we're talking about downtown, can we bring St. Michael's to the table and you know, strategize a little bit there. I mean, they've got some ideas that we don't know about that, you know, just thinking a little bit about it. It's like, use some of the existing infrastructure we have to try to say, you know, if it was this, would it be better for you if it was that?
Another good suggestion, because when we talk downtown, they're the second biggest area stakeholder of land, so that would be an opportunity. And then we're talking the campus, same thing with the schools.
The schools.
They're the biggest partner we have in that area. So, yeah, if we can look at each one of those and determine who's directly affected or who we have to leave the Northwest Quadrant, we already have an agreement to, if we did infrastructure upgrades in the Northwest Quadrant and we did an assessment, the assessment formula is our property that when we is 40%, the rest of it's 60%. And so if we would decide that there's a an opportunity on the horizon that would incorporate that 80 to 100 acres, including the 15 acres in Brooklyn Heights, that would be something that needs to be explored. We would have data outlined using the engineering department and planning to help us frame that up. So yeah.
We might even want to put a jet up there if you've got multiple communities that you can put that in place in advance in case something,
right,
to attract somebody.
We do have a preliminary agreement which we put together years ago with Brooklyn Heights. They I think they pay for 10% or something of the that any development, but also the access points coming from Brooklyn Heights to the primary access points if you're going to cut short having to go to Rockside to get in there. So, but that's another good point about the Northwest Quadrant. So downtown, St. Michael's, you're right. I think the campus, we got the schools. Northwest Quadrant would be other property owners, primary property owners, and assessment issues, and joint agreements with other Brooklyn Heights.
Even Seven Hills might want to participate in that, just as a.
Yeah, Brooklyn Heights, but then you also see if, you know, actually you're right, because Brooklyn Seven Hills, all that new development, although we don't benefit at all, we have responsibility for the infrastructure, the wear and tear on our roads, and then the sewer water, whether it be sanitary or storm. So we should really sit down and have that more broad discussion with them on the Northwest Quadrant, because Lombardo, you know, things of that nature. So yeah, your point's well taken. So those three areas, downtown, the campus, Northwest Quadrant, Cloverleaf. Cloverleaf presents another opportunity. There's talking about grading, regrading. We've got conversation potentially with the Metro Parks about access. We've got zoning. We've got upgrade of the facilities, infrastructure changes. So there's a lot to digest there, but the one thing they can't take away from there is the location. I just see that as a potential opportunity to create some different dynamic for a lot of that. Again, that may incorporate some of Brooklyn Heights, Valley View, Niagara Heights, all playing a layer of the Cloverleaf area.
Yep.
And then the last one area, the last area that I let me just make a note of that. The last one is Hemlock. Hemlock property. We have 114 acres. The Western Reserve has just donated 68 acres, the old mine itself. So you put 114, 168, you're getting close to 200 acres. And so exploring on a very preliminary basis the impact of the national park, it's within the majority that's within the boundaries, but it doesn't have the restrictions. There are certain easements scenic easements along the bluff overlooking the railroad, things of that nature. But I don't believe when we acquired that property from Boyas, early 90s, that it's within the boundaries of the park, could have bought it, but didn't pay for it. Now, no one's interested in making money. I'm looking at, you know, that property sitting there. Play what if. It's got a lot of natural attributes that could be built into something more dynamic and sustainable long term. So could be a series of paths, connecting paths. It could be a variety of different things. There's no limit because I don't believe there's any restriction on our 114. But for the lot trail, so.
If you make that an area, you know, a destination area with some things, that would be really exciting.
That would be something that would be, we need to look at it. So that's the Hemlock area. So those five areas, if we could create some dynamic plan or strategy that ignites some opportunities, I think it's our responsibility to do that. I'm not saying we're going to build it, they will come, but I'm saying that we should at least position it to where if people know that the city is receptive or open to meaningful discussions, that may just have to redefine itself in terms of zoning, land utilization, then at least we have to get that out there. Because right now, they pass us by on 480, they pass us by on 77 because they don't think we're going to. They see what we developers, real estate people, they all know what we have. We don't have to guess about any of that. But they don't see what we have. We can see. But we see from the inside out. They're just driving by. So if we can demonstrate some type of strategic planning or openness to working differently than our zoning is, it may offer some opportunity. I think in order to be competitive financially, in order to be competitive and more diversified in terms of our tax base, I think that we need to explore the uses of that land, those land masses. The only people that can really make those decisions are the council, city council. So, but I think it's incumbent upon administration to at least play what if. And then if council wants to put some money towards the strategic planning, some of these areas, then I think at least my goal would be to at least show new potential investors, some potential developers that we're open for business and we're open and we're willing to listen beyond what you see on a piece of paper with zoning. And if you agree with that strategy, then I can pursue it. If you're saying let's just lock down and wait until somebody shows up, then we can hear that strategy. But you got to tell me. So let me do that. Let me get together those area plans, the existing information. Annie can lay out those five areas between Annie and Jessica. We can frame it up. We can look at St. Michael's, we can look at the schools for those two, we can look at Northwest Quadrant, and then different communities that abut the city that work hand in hand, and then like Clover Leaf, we've got Valley View, Kaga Heights, Brooklyn Heights, Independence is the whole core, and then Hemlock is Independence, but it offers, but we don't own it all, we only own 114 of it, the rest of it's Western Reserve, so. But in discussions with Western Reserve, they'll have the discussion. They'll have a discussion. And I'm talking about something that's compatible with the rest of the entire dynamic that the park, that the city, that what we need, plus what maybe the park can benefit from, maybe something dynamic. So that's where we're at. We'll do our homework. And we'll try to get back on it as soon as we feel we're comfortable, as quick as 30 days, might be longer. We'd like to see if council, if you, Chris, if you want to call it a meeting or if you want to do a council workshop. I'm comfortable with either one.
Mayor, real quick, another stakeholder.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the operation, but the county libraries.
Oh, yeah, that's a downtown.
Do we have any obligation to their building?
You know, it's funny you mention this. It's funny you mention that because we did have a discussion, early discussion, because there may be an opportunity that they felt they could move from this building to the building. And then so it was free up. I'm not sure if you had that discussion, but Ala had that discussion, or somebody had that. So there's an opportunity, they're open to having that discussion, that more broad discussion. If they get a new area, new facility, downtown, on the campus, somewhere in this, that they'd be willing to move there and then open this up for us. So that's a.
I just see a library system, they're really thinking very long.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
I have a preliminary discussion with the branch manager and their director of facility operations. They just went through the process and, you know, forgive me, I'm putting in a name for a few of all of their buildings. Because Independence was not included in one of the 14 plus branches that they either rebuilt or extremely renovated in. So they have capital funds set aside that they could actually build a new facility. And so kind of where it's at, where I'm with them is asking them kind of what their needs are, kind of looking at a new location. One of the things that's really important to them is access to the RTA, because of who utilizes their services. So they're very much open to any type of conversations that we want to have with them, because it's kind of the right timing for them as well to have those conversations.
So thank you for reminding us. Anybody else have any ideas of suggestions of potential stakeholders that we want to draw into these?
I suspect Jenny might know from the sea level, you know, that the intel, you know, if they're building down almost, are there going to be any ancillary, you know, work that's going to be, there any work at that we have the Northwest Quadrant? I mean, no, not, you know, think about office buildings or hotels, I think that's not the direction we should go, but something that we should buy a research park or something of that nature, that if we can market that and be on the cutting, you know, as that develops down in Licking County and everything, we could have something to offer up here, which is not too far away, but it would complement, you know, what they're doing there and provide them a plan to.
I guess that's Jessica's bailiwick, but right, Jobs Ohio would be a great partner.
Yeah, I'd like to see, from a regional standpoint, they say, hey, we have this thing, we'd like to be on.
We've been left out. Greater Cleveland has been left out of that.
Yeah.
But there are going to be, talking with the people from Columbus, there are going to be a lot of spin-off.
Yeah, that's.
It's like, not only rebuild cars, but a lot of machine shops on Brooks Park Road as a result of that industry. So if we can, and we're right on the corridor, 71, so we can get right, access is pretty easy.
Fascinating.
If we're willing to look at, you know, we tell them we're open for business, and they tell us, we share them how we're open for business. We respond on a timely basis, offer them some ready land. Or that may be something that that could get traction.
And by the way, we've got an excellent suggestion. We didn't talk about Pleasant Valley Corridor, but do we want to? I mean, is there anything more to discuss with?
There's some play down by Heidelberg. Potentially, that's the only real landmass left. That's limited.
Oh, yeah. Hell.
So, unless we, there's always these little pods that we can create opportunities with.
The First Energy property, is that all undevelopable?
The First Energy, you know, there are towers,
yeah.
Parking, but, you know, we've got the, you know, we're able to come up with a dynamic that satisfies the school's needs long term, that the people can brace, and then it opens up that property on by the primary school.
That's
an opportunity.
But First Energy, the terrain is pretty tough there. Then the National Park already got such cuts that offered it up to voice some of our options between Hillside and Pleasant Valley going further north. So that cut that off. But,
as far as family property goes, that's like recreation. I know you talked one time about winery or something. Like, we were just at a wedding in a national park there off of Brandywine Road. I mean, it was just an older mansion type home and everything, but it was a great setting for that kind of function. And just seeing the potential we could have there too.
That's one of the discussion points that we need to have that sooner rather than later because of the potential dynamics between the mine and having a good working relationship with the mine, the Western Reserve people.
One of the other things related to that 114 acres is my friend has a place in Twinsburg that when people want to come to the park, they rent that place. So is that an appropriate area to have 15 cabins? I mean, that brings people in. That brings in some income. The terrain is such that it would be attractive. You're right next to the park. You're right next to the trail. You know, and there's a pretty, they pay a pretty steep price for renting one of those cabins.
Think about what a state park looks like. You're almost talking about the exact same type of terrain, hiking.
Sure. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so.
It was our national park. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a small little, I'll have Jessica update the OHM as a development planner that sketched some things up that right on that same venue you just outlined. It'll be fun having a little discussion. I'll let me pull up those things and we'll just maybe address one at a time. We can focus.
So you want us to like every couple of weeks have a workshop and go through one of the areas?
Another area plan. And after the first couple, have a flavor of what everybody's thinking so that we can layer in all these different opportunities. Okay?
I think anyone wants to stand still.
Well, and we can't stand. We can't afford to stand. So we have young people that are working here that are dynamic and they need to be, you know, engaged in this process. We also have a financial or economic incentive to do something so we can make sure that we have sustainability and stability long term. So we have to at least pick up the rocks and see what's underneath. Hope it's not a fossil of some kind. Yeah. 5,500, 6,000. But that was the purpose of that line, so I appreciate you indulging in the conversation and participating. I got some great ideas out of it. So thank you.
The only other thing I have is I want to, since the weather broke, I want to kind of set up a council field trip so we know everyone can see all the facilities and stuff. So I don't want to get crazy on putting out dates because then it'll just, you know, we'll keep it to like a Tuesday or a Thursday. I don't know how. Or after better. I mean,
something's happening.
We're pretty much done. She's got me confused. Sorry, just listen.
Okay. So I'll put that out there in the next couple of weeks.
No, you'll find a date.
So it's for public buildings.
Yes.
Yeah. Another thing, maybe that we might want to think about is having these little workshop sessions, maybe on site. Some of the, you know, go down and see where we're talking about.
Yeah, just maybe block out a morning, whatever's easier for people's schedule.
Yeah.
In morning or afternoon, but block out about 3 hours.
Yes.
Like I said, it worked out well with this. Yeah, that was great. The kids and everything. Yeah.
That was really great. Thank you for those that were able to attend.
That was a lot of fun. Is there anything else? Mm-hmm. I moved to German.
Section.
Debbie, call the roll.
Sure. Well, Chanowitz?
Yes.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone.
Recording stopped.